Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as promised, we have a very special guest with us for this episode of The Dive. We have the pretty little psycho, Shauna Reed. Shauna, how are you doing this evening?
All right, how are you?
I am good. Shauna, you're kind of been all over the place here recently. Been following you on Facebook, and looks like you've been putting on the miles over the past few months.
Oh, yeah, like always.
So, Shauna, what we usually do here on The Dive is we like to talk about kind of your career, how you got started in professional wrestling, what your current thoughts on the state of women's professional wrestling is, and it kind of just gives everyone kind of an overview. We like to choose independent wrestlers that are out making a name for themselves just to kind of help give them a little bit of extra exposure to some of the people that might not be familiar with them. With that in mind, when did you first start showing an interest in professional wrestling?
Probably when I was about 8 years old, was the first initial interest, when my brother kind of forced me to play the video games on the PlayStation.
So as kind of as you're playing those games, was there any, you know, wrestlers or matches when you started watching wrestling that kind of stuck out to you and attracted you to professional wrestling?
Well, the very first wrestler that I ever even figured out who they were, because my brother would quiz me on the wrestlers as they popped up on the screen in between the matches. This is my younger brother, too. So, but was Chris Benoit.
Okay.
And he was kind of the first one that I guess, because I didn't know any of the wrestlers. I didn't even know what it was, to be completely honest with you, when I first started playing the game. So he was always the one I picked because I knew his name. And then, you know, I didn't even know what WWE, Raw, or SmackDown even was at the time. And then one day I was watching on TV. I'm like, oh, my God, this is actually real. And I, like, you know, started, like, becoming big fans of, like, Undertaker, Kane. Those are my first two, you know, favorites. And then Shawn Michaels was kind of stuck with me throughout the years as being pretty much my all-time favorite.
Okay, yeah, I think Shawn Michaels is kind of an influence, really, for, you know, quite a few wrestlers at pretty much any age, just because of some of the, you know, some of the matches he had, some of the WrestleMania matches especially, have been, you know, kind of some of the greatest matches, or considered some of the greatest matches in wrestling history. So I can see that. So when you're at that age, you know, 8, 9, 10, getting in your teenage years, what was kind of your thoughts on women's professional wrestling? Because during that time period, you know, it was really more about, you know, sex selling, kind of the body, not more or less, wasn't actual wrestling or talent, so to speak. It was more kind of the, you know, the provocativeness kind of.
Yeah, to be completely honest with you, during that time when the women came on for their matches, I went and got, like, food or something like that, like, because I didn't care to watch, you know, a bra and panties match. I didn't care right about that stuff. But there were three women that, if they were involved in the match, I stayed and I watched, and that was Mickie James, Victoria, and Trish Stratus.
Okay.
And then Lita kind of came, like later on, I became a Lita fan. But, like, I just was not into the women's part when I was that age, because I was more into, like, you know, like the storylines that the men were having, the actual moves that the men were doing. And that's what intrigued me, not like, oh, what's her outfit look like this week? Oh, she's freaking, like, pretty much naked on TV right now. Like,
right.
And, like, oh, who's going to get her shirt off first? Like, I was totally not into that. So I would always either flip the channel unless I said, like, those three women were on TV. Then I'd stay and watch. But I very much remember the second, like, I heard someone's music come on that was not those three. Like, I was like, all right, what's on this channel?
No, even as, you know, I was in my teenage years and early 20s at that time period. I wasn't even really into that because I thought it was, you know, they could have done a lot more with women, especially people as talented as Mickie James and Victoria and Trish Stratus. Obviously, they all have a lot of wrestling background. Trish Stratus has quite the athletic background. They could have did a lot more with them during that time period.
Oh, definitely.
So with that in mind, at what age did you decide, okay, this is what I want to do. I want to be a wrestler.
Well, you know, when everybody's like in the 8, 9, 10 year old, they're all like, oh, hey, let's go on. Like, let's just play wrestle with our siblings. Mm-hmm. But still at that time, like I never actually saw myself actually doing it. And, you know, then the teenage years come by, everybody has that. Well, most people have that phase where they stop watching it. And, then all of a sudden, for some reason, like when I turned about, 18 or 19, I was moving into my first apartment, and just for some reason, like I had a dream. It was weird. I had like a dream, and I woke up like, and, I was like, huh. It's Monday. I wonder, my dream had WWE involved, had wrestling involved. And I hadn't watched it for years. And I was like, oh, I'm curious as to what, you know, like, what they're doing now.
Right.
And so I, turned on the channel, and it was really weird because the match I had in my dream, like, those two people were actually wrestling when I turned on the TV.
Oh, wow. So it's almost kind of like faith that that's what you needed to do then.
Yeah, it was really weird. And so, you know, I turned it back on and I started watching it, started following the storylines again. And then that love, that childhood love, like, came back. And it just so happened that the person that I was watching was from Cincinnati and where I'm from. And I kind of, you know, became a really big fan of, like, Dean Ambrose.
Right.
And so I looked up who trained him. Actually, I was trained by somebody who kind of pointed me in the direction of the person who trained him. And I contacted Cody Hawk, and then the rest is kind of history.
Right. And he trained Dean Ambrose and then Sami Callihan, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Now, I read, if you don't want to talk about it, I understand. I read in an interview you did when you first started training. You had someone that kind of took your credit cards and kind of made off with a lot of money on you.
Oh yeah. That guy,
you don't have to name who, obviously.
No, it was actually my fiance at the time's, it was his cousin, and I didn't know the first thing, how to get into the wrestling business. And so
right.
When someone came to me and told me that they were in the wrestling business and they could train me, I jumped on it, you know? And, he kind of like lied to me and told me that, before I could start training, I needed like a license or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. Whatever. I had read that, you know, some states needed licenses, and I'm like, okay, cool. No big deal. So, he ended up telling me he needed like my ID and then my social security card and all that stuff. And me being, you know, blind, believed him. And, gave him all that information, and then we had two lessons, and then all of a sudden, like, I started getting, like, calls from banks that, like, I'm maxing out credit cards, I'm not paying bills, like, what's going on? And I'm, like, you know, shutting down those credit cards immediately, making, like, you know, police reports, that's not me. And one of the credit card companies, like, wanted to verify my address, and I was, like, that's not my address. They're, like, well, is this your other phone number? And I'm, like, no. But I took down that phone number and that address, and I ended up calling that phone number, and it was my trainer.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. So that all went down. But, yeah, he, like, maxed out four credit cards in my name. And all that, but he, you know, he definitely got, he got caught. And,
good.
Yeah, and I say the two best things that ever came out of that was I got my first pair of wrestling boots for free, and then he pointed me in, and he pointed me in Cody Hawk's direction.
So, you know? When something like that happens, I would imagine many people would consider that a setback and maybe giving up on their dream altogether. It kind of seems like more you used it as motivation.
I was definitely down for the count for maybe a few months when I had to get everything, you know, taken care of and back on track with what he did. But then as soon as, you know, I was financially stable again and everything was okay, because thank God, you know, like I said, they caught him. I made the police report and I gave it to everybody, gave it to all the credit card people. So I didn't have to pay any of the bills. So it was good
okay.
with that.
Good, good.
But like, you know, once I got everything back stable and my mind stable, I immediately reached out to Cody and I said, do you happen to train women? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. Like, when can I start? And we started like 2 weeks after that.
Now, when you train with someone like Cody, who's, you know, trained, you know, Dean Ambrose is probably one of the five biggest names in WWE right now. Were you intimidated at all? Nervous?
That's an understatement. because, well, when I walked in there, I kind of had a feeling I was going to be the only girl, and I was right. you know, so it's already intimidating, like, with Cody, but, you know, being the only woman in there. And like I'm way smaller than all these huge guys that come in, and I knew immediately I was being looked at as, okay, she's going to be gone in the next week.
Right.
And I knew that immediately, and I was, you know, freaking out, like, and, but you know, I had actually, you know, done a meet and greet with Dean Ambrose like that Friday before at a convention.
Oh, wow.
And I told him, and you know, so that was pretty cool. And then, like, I'm really good friends with Sean Patrick Flannery from, like, the Boondock Saints. And he's kind of been, like, a big brother to me throughout the years. And he's the one that pushed me to finally, you know, go for this. And when I remember talking to him the night before training, being like, I'm going to be the only girl here. He goes, so what? He's like, pardon my friends, but he's like, go kick their ass. I'm like, well, okay, and then here we are today. I've been the only girl Cody has produced in the past 4 years, because every girl that started has either quit in the first week or the second week. So.
Oh wow! So would you say then you've had support from your friends and family when you made the decision that you wanted to wrestle? Because I know, it's speaking with a couple other women, it's kind of been varied where, you know, their family's kind of like, really, a wrestler? I kind of figured maybe like a doctor or something like that. But then on the other hand, some have been, you know, go and do your thing, and they've been 110% supportive of them.
Oh, my parents hated me for like a few, like, I actually hid the fact that I was training for probably about a good year and a half.
Oh, really?
And yeah, because my mom always said, like, when I told her, you know, when I was still living with them, that I wanted to be a wrestler, she goes, not under my like roof. Like, you know, they, my mom and dad would always, like, my dad was really cool with wrestling, and like, that's kind of how me and him bonded. Okay. But my mom was completely 1000% against it. And, but you know, she would, let me play the video games. She would go out and buy like the little DVDs for me, the shirts. But I always asked, when WWE came to town, I begged for tickets. God, I begged for tickets. And it never happened. She would never let me go. And I actually didn't even go to my first WWE event until I bought my first ticket when I was 20 years old.
Nice.
So, but like, you know, I kind of hit the fact that I was wrestling for like a year and a half, like, and that was hard because I had bruises everywhere consistently. So, you know, I'm wearing long sleeve shirts and stuff. And, finally, you know, I came out and told him, and even though the fact that me and my dad, like, we bonded over wrestling, he was not happy that I was wrestling. I think it's because, you know, I'm a girl.
Right.
And that's not what girls are supposed to do. Like, we are, you know, in my family's eyes, that's not what girls are supposed to do. And I'm probably the most, like, kind of tomboyish girl in my whole family. And I think that was hard for my mom to kind of get over. because she wanted that girl with, like, dresses and, you know, bows and stuff, and that's not what she got. But it took her a while, but now they're both super supportive. They could, I think they thought maybe it was going to be a phase that I, you know, got over, and they can see it's not, and I'm doing a lot with it. I'm going out of the country. I've worked for WWE 10 times. You know, I'm actually, like, working my butt off for it. And they now are so supportive. Like, they'll come to my shows. It took 2.5 years for them to come to a show to see me. And, you know, they post about my shows. They post about everything now, so, on Facebook. So it's definitely been a whirlwind to get them to where they are today.
Well, no, I can understand, you know, right away, probably not being so supportive of it. But, yeah, it's good to see that they've kind of grown into it and you've got kind of their blessing, so to speak. Yeah. And they come out to matches and enjoy it. So that's cool. So now, did you have any athletic background kind of growing up in high school? You know, did you play sports? Do you think that that's something that's beneficial when you start training, or did you not have any of that at all?
No, I played basketball and softball.
Okay.
I only did softball for maybe 4 years. I did basketball since, like, sixth grade. And then I also had done dance.
And, okay.
I did dance for 6 years as well. So it's kind of funny because some of the drills that Cody does at training still to this day, like, some of, like, the shuffling of the feet and stuff like that are stuff I did in basketball camp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I also did color guard in high school. So, like, that stuff with, like, my arms and, like, the strength of my arms. I'm not the strongest girl of upper body at all. I'll be the first to tell you that. But, like, the coordination, like, that came from, like, color guard and stuff has definitely helped with this. And, you know, like, I'm still working on my cardio, but basketball and softball were definitely helpful going into this.
So now that you've done your training and everything, when was your first match? And kind of talk me through it a little bit. What was it like for you, your feelings about it, nerves?
My first match was March 11th, 2016. 2016. Basically, I had gotten injured in training, like, a few weeks into my training, and I still went to training every single night and, like, took notes, and then kind of restarted with his second class. And I had only been back maybe a few weeks, actually in ring training when I got a call from Cody, and on a Friday night, I got a call from Cody and he said, "Do you want to wrestle tomorrow?" And I'm like, "Do you mean in front of people?" And he's like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "No." I'm like, "No." I kept telling him no. And I'm like, "I'm not ready." And especially when I found out it was, like, Bobby Fulton's promotion and Road Warrior Animal was going to be on it. And there was going to be over 1,000 people there.
Oh, wow.
I was like, bullcrap. No, not happening. Thank you. Have a nice day. You know, kind of thing. Like, I kept telling him no. And, cause I didn't want to, I didn't feel like I was ready. I knew the basics, but I'm like, I'm not going to go out there and embarrass Cody. And, or myself, but I was more worried about embarrassing Cody. And then he pulled this on me and said, "If you don't trust yourself, trust me." I was like, "You freaking jerk." So I finally agreed and went to Macy's at, like, 10 o'clock at night and found some weird looking tights and a black sports bra. And, the next day, you know, went out to Chillicothe with Cody and wrestled Zoe Sky, who is just amazing. And, you know, she helped me out so much. And we had an amazing match. And she, like, especially for someone who's only been kind of really training only a few weeks, maybe a month and a half.
Right.
But, Cody was my manager, so he was out there too. So it was, walking through the curtain was something I can never really describe. It's a feeling I know I'll never feel again, but other than the first time, you know, you walk through a curtain, and for wrestling, like, it was kind of like, oh my God, this is my life now. This is like a dream come true for me. It was terrifying, but it was so much fun.
So at that time then, did you kind of have your character developed? I know you kind of gone by The Stubborn Angel, The Pretty Little Psycho, or was that something that kind of come over time as you started wrestling matches?
Well, that first match, I had no character. I went out there, I was told I needed to be a heel, and I went on with my day. So I went out there and was just kind of like a jerk. And The Stubborn Angel came about as I was working out with one of my wrestling buddies at Planet Fitness. And we were talking about how, like, I never want to get out of the ring or whatever, no matter if I'm even hurt or whatever. And I said something to the fact, like, oh, you love me. I'm such an angel. And he's like, a stubborn angel. And then that's where that thing was kind of born. And that character was kind of like, I did the angel demon character for a little bit because I'm also a huge Finn Balor fan.
Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm going to kind of try and do this. But in the back of my head, like, I always wanted to be, like, kind of have that crazy character. Because I'm a very big AJ Lee fan, and then kind of, like, you know, I was a Dean Ambrose fan. But in the back of my head, I had always, that's how I saw myself when I was, whenever I did wrestling. But, you know, I couldn't really get to that point yet.
And so you'd almost say then that the character is kind of almost an extension of who you are as a person, then, you would say, maybe?
Maybe, yeah, definitely, because, like, it's, if you don't feel it, if it's not right, if you don't feel it, you're not going to portray it the best. And all these girls on the indie scene right now are doing a Harley Quinn gimmick, pretty much. If they're crazy, they're doing a Harley Quinn gimmick. And I didn't want to do that, especially now when I had kind of free range to change my character a little bit and be who I wanted her to be. And so all these girls are doing Harley Quinn, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go opposite, and I'm going to go Riddler. I'm going to go Joker. Those are going to be my inspirations. And so, you know, that's what I'm kind of doing. I've went with the whole green and purple, and I've been studying the Joker and the Riddler's, like, lines and stuff from, like, Gotham and stuff like that, and, like, writing them down. And, you know, I'm trying to kind of go that way instead of, like, I'm trying to be a different crazy than how other girls are being.
Kind of developing your own character rather than taking something from, like, someone else and taking something from someone else. You're kind of doing it on your own.
Exactly.
So when you, what's kind of like a typical day for you now? Obviously, as an indie wrestler, a lot of the women that I've spoke to in the past, you know, they have a day job, train on weeknights, work out, wrestle on weekends, they put on miles. What's kind of like a normal day for you? And then kind of how do you juggle wrestling, training, personal life, everything, etc.?
Well, by day, I'm a nurse. yeah. So I'm a nurse at a primary care office.
Okay.
So, that's what I do by day. And, Mondays and Tuesdays, Cody has his training class. And so I'm there till about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, every Monday and Tuesday. And then Wednesdays are my off day from work. And I'll either, you know, go to the gym or pretty much just kind of have a lazy day because Thursday through Sunday, I'm usually on the road after work, you know. So Friday nights, we just opened FGW in Hamilton. And then Saturday and Sunday are pretty much fair game. Like, I always, like, look at my calendar on Monday and figure out where I am that weekend. So it's pretty much just like, you know, the day job and then pretty much the night job.
So sleep can be in a premium at sometimes then.
Yeah. I try, but like definitely within the past few weeks, like sleep has kind of not been the best, not been an option for me.
So now you had mentioned this earlier, you've done, you know, some appearances with WWE in the past. And I know, I think as recently as November, you know, you're on Raw and SmackDown. What is that like as an independent wrestler? I mean, is the dream always, I want to work for WWE, or, you know, kind of what's that like? I imagine this has to be some nerves, even just being in backstage segments.
Yeah, no, I was actually there about a month and a half ago, too, when they were in Toledo. But, yeah, like, first walking into there, my first shot was, like 2.5 years ago. And I called Cody while I was walking into the arena because I was, like, crying because I was by myself in Minnesota. Like, you know, like, you never expect, like, this. And to have been so early in my career and like get the call, like to get the opportunity to do this was like, that was my dream come true. Like I had three goals getting into the wrestling business, and that was to wrestle internationally, wrestle in a WWE ring, and to make an impact on women's wrestling. And when I tried out for WWE, you know, I tried, my first tryout match was terrible, absolutely horrible. But as I rolled out of that ring, I sat on the apron for a second and I looked up at like the big screen. Mm-hmm. And I saw a replay of like me doing my finisher to the girl that I tried out with. And I was like, you know what? Like if I never make it, if they never invite me back, I don't even care right now, because that dream like was reality.
Right.
And, you know, and luckily I've been given many more opportunities since then. They keep inviting me back, which has been amazing. And I'm actually friends with some of those people, like Mickie James, how I explained to you earlier, like she was one of my first idols. Like she is now one of my friends. And like,
oh, that's cool.
Whenever I'm backstage, she sees me, runs up to me, and like, me and her have talked in catering. Like she's given me so much advice. She's amazing. And like, you know, it's just watching the setup and watching this, and like, it's a bizarre experience. And I guess when everybody gets into the business, they all have their goals. And when I first got into it, my goal was WWE.
Right.
And it still is. But there have definitely been some, people that have opened my eyes to, you know, other things and kind of other things with WWE that I didn't really realize before.
Right.
So right now I'm just, you know, going strong until somebody offers me a contract.
Well, I think too, you know, with Ring of Honor, with Impact, with All Elite starting here, and with all the various, you know, independent promotions throughout the United States, there's just so many other options for someone if they don't want to choose the route of working with WWE. Obviously, I mean, they're the promotion, and most people grow up wanting to wrestle there, but it just seems like there's so many other avenues that wrestlers can take now.
Definitely.
So what are some of the promotions you've worked for in the past? I know you mentioned Future Great Wrestling earlier, but what are some of the other ones that you've wrestled for?
I've wrestled for quite a bit. I wrestled for Blue Water Championship Wrestling in Port Huron, Michigan. I used to wrestle for World Classic Big Time Professional Wrestling. I wrestled for Girl Fight, War. I've wrestled for AHCW in Missouri, PAL in Chicago Style Wrestling. I've wrestled for, like, I haven't even lost track of everybody I've wrestled for. I've wrestled for so many different promotions in so many different states, and, like, so I've wrestled quite a bit.
Who would you say some of your favorite opponents have been so far? Who do you really connect with in the ring?
Haley Shadows, Maria, James, Thunder Kitty, Zoe Sky will always have a special place in my heart. She's amazing, and, you know, I think that we haven't got to have a single since my very first match. We've actually been on a team ever since then. and, you know, Queen Aminata, me and her could wrestle each other with our eyes closed. And because we're put together so much, and she's like a sister to me. And there's just, you know, there are a lot of girls out there that, you know, are amazing. And Harley in Springfield, Illinois, like they all become like sisters to you. So
when I spoke with my last guest, Kara Noya, who wrestles here in North Dakota, and she's kind of out throughout the Midwest, she said that once you wrestle some of these women, you kind of have that bond where they kind of have that inner circle of friends looking out for each other. You know, this promotion is cool, work for this one. Do you kind of have that kinship with everybody then, you would say, when you wrestle with them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it might not be with every single girl that you step in the ring with, but definitely, because, I mean, even when you meet the person that you're going to wrestle, you can meet them for the first time. And in that time period that you're with them that day, you're trusting them with your life. Kind of, you're right. Like this stranger that you're meeting. you're trusting that they're trained. You're trusting they know what they're doing. You know, so that's kind of a bond that most people will probably never understand. And, you know, you make those bond with women, men, people all around the world. And but there are definitely those people that you don't, you know. You go out there, you have a really crappy match, and they're mad, you're mad, and, you know, never talk to them again. But
so now that you've been wrestling since, you know, 2016, and when you travel from promotion to promotion, and like you said, you face different people sometimes every night, every weekend that you're wrestling. In some situations, you're kind of the veteran, you know, when you've been wrestling for 3 years. And in some situations, you're probably, you know, I wouldn't say green, but younger. How do you approach those matches when you wrestle with someone that you haven't been with before? Do you try to work it out with them kind of ahead of time? What kind of approach do you take?
Well, I always, when I figure out who my opponent is, I immediately look them up on either Facebook or YouTube to try and see, you know, if they're good, like who they were trained by, you know, things like that. And then, you know, when you meet them, you can kind of, you can, I wouldn't say immediately you would tell, you could tell if you're going to have a connection with them or not. So, you know, it's just, you just both have to, you know, be truthful with each other. Like, look, this is who I was trained by. This is how long I've been in the business. And then, you know, if you've been in it, like, less than the other person, like, and this person's been in the business for a long time and has, you know, paved their way, you need to just shut up and, you know, listen to what they kind of want to do.
Right.
And, you know, but in situations where you're both around the same time period, then it's kind of more like, okay, this is what I do, this is what you do, cool. So I hate, like, kind of calling matches in the back. So, I've had too many concussions where I don't really remember stuff anymore. So I've been very, I've been very lucky that Cody has trained me, you know, to kind of go with things on the fly.
So do you go back then, when you wrestle a match, do you go back and try to, you know, rewatch those matches, see what you could have done differently? Or do you kind of just, okay, this match is over, it's on to the next one?
No, I film all my matches, or at least I try to. I look back and I'm like, okay, I should have done this. Like, oh, what am I doing here? Like, why didn't I go after that fan right there? Like, definitely I'm my own biggest critic, to the point like where like sometimes I even like put myself in tears and I'm like, why do I do this to myself? But
now, you were talking about injuries earlier. You know, when you first started training, you were injured. Obviously, injuries are a big part of wrestling. How do you deal with them? I know you said earlier when you were training, you tried to take notes and then jumped into the next training class. But now, currently, when you're out on the road, how do you deal with injuries?
It's been, like, I've been injured a lot throughout my career. Like, I'm the green girl that's like, sure, I'll take any move you want to do. Why not? Like, and trusting that person will keep me safe. And so now I've kind of, I've been hurt so much. And even when I have been hurt, I haven't stopped wrestling. Like, I've wrestled on broken bones. I've wrestled, you know, on cracked ribs. I've wrestled on a, slightly cracked sternum.
Wow.
I wrestled on concussions. I wrestled on torn biceps. Like, you know, so, like, I've had a total of 9 concussions, and basically, like, I totally, like, now, take care of myself more.
Right. Do you ever feel, you know, there's obviously the big discussion with, like, the NFL and WWE obviously has a rigorous concussion testing policy. Do you ever get nervous at all about, you know, any long-term effects or anything like that at all, or any permanent injury like that?
Sometimes, but then other times, like, you know, I can definitely work around it.
Right. So what do you think makes a good wrestler? Is it the look, the mic skills, the talent, a combination of all three? What do you think makes a really good wrestler?
Let's see. I mean, they definitely, you know, they need to have the look, and they like, not all people have the mic skills. I mean, look at Brock Lesnar.
Right, right.
Like, he's got the look, but he's got Paul Heyman there for the friggin' mic. That man, so he's, and he's golden, you know? I think the understanding of wrestling, the training, like, you know, how much work you put into it is what makes you, you know, stand out from the rest. Because someone can totally, like, not look the part at all and absolutely amaze you and surprise you.
Mm-hmm.
So
now when we've talked about, you know, working for different promotions, going all over the place, there's certain times where either because there's not enough talent on the roster or just because it's a match that's booked. I know you've wrestled against both men and women. Some people feel that there's a stigma involved with men wrestling women, but it seems now, especially like with WWE, with Nia Jax and kind of in the Royal Rumble, teasing somewhat of a feud or match with Dean Ambrose, it might be coming a little bit more mainstream. What's kind of your thought on that?
I love mixed gender wrestling. I actually prefer it because, like, I'm a pretty tall girl, and I'm pretty much taller than almost every girl in the indies. And so I can't really, you know, go and do, like anything flippy if I wanted to on a smaller girl. And so, like, with guys, I can, you know, be that one that I can do the cool moves.
Right.
Like, you know, and then, you know, I've trained with guys, I've been brought up with guys, so I'm more used to that. And, you know, it always makes a girl feel badass when she's beating a guy up.
So you've talked about when you wrestle some of these women that you haven't wrestled against before, you like to look them up on YouTube, kind of watch some of their matches. Do you find in your any of the other free time that you have, do you try to watch any other promotions? Is there any other particular wrestlers that you try to watch, or do you just not find the time to do so?
I mean, if WWE's on, I'll watch that, maybe. I haven't been watching it recently, to be completely honest with you. But, I mean, I don't really, you know, watch anybody else's stuff unless I'm, like, at that show.
Okay.
So pretty much if I'm, you know, watching anybody, it's if it's on TV.
So with social media today, you kind of have the opportunity to really get your name out there, obviously Facebook, Instagram, and then, you know, with video streaming sites like YouTube, you can really build a really good reputation, really good name for yourself. But also with that, there's the opportunity for, like, you know, Nia Jax will be size shamed from random people, or people will make fun of Alexa Bliss in her previous battles with eating disorders and things like that. How would you say that you turn, like, some of those negative fans, how do you turn some of that negativity into positives?
Well, I mean, if they're, you know, if they are taking the time out of their day to say something to you, it means that they're obviously thinking of you. And, you know, they're obviously spreading your name.
Right.
So, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I've definitely gotten sometimes, you know, sometimes stuff bothers me. But definitely have the support system here at home that, you know, keeps me on track.
So would you have any advice for anyone today that's starting out that wants to become a professional wrestler?
Stick with it. It's going to be the most painful thing you ever go through, but it's also going to be the most rewarding.
And then what would you say, you know, obviously the term evolution has been thrown out there, you know, for the last couple of years at the WWE with the women's evolution. What's your current thoughts on the evolution of women's wrestling? Do you think that we're heading in the right direction? Obviously, women are going to main event WrestleMania. We've had, you know, Elimination Chamber matches, Hell in a Cell matches, Women's Tag Team Championship. Do you think we're going in the right direction, or are there other steps that companies could be taking?
I mean, I do definitely think we're going in the right direction. Like, we're out of this, out of the era of bra and panties matches, you know. We're out of that era. Now we're being looked at as we can do just as much, if not better, than things that guys can do. And that's, we're all being classified now as wrestlers, not, oh, here's the girls' match.
Right.
You know, like, No, we're all being classified as, okay, and we're all wrestlers. We all can do the same thing. So I think it's definitely taking a step in the right direction.
Would you say that you have a dream match at all? If there was one match that you could have with a current superstar, who would it be?
With a current superstar? Let's see.
Because I think I read somewhere before you wanted to wrestle AJ Lee.
Yeah.
Was one of kind of your dream matches.
Yeah, she's definitely probably my dream match. I did get to have my recent dream match when I wrestled Victoria.
Right.
But, like, I guess my current dream match would probably, there's two girls that I kind of want to, that I would like to wrestle. And one is, you know, Mickie James. And then the other one would be Tessa Blanchard.
Okay. She's really been making a name for herself lately, too.
Yeah, and I'll get to meet her for the very first time here in April. So, like, she'll be on the same show, not as a wrestler, but as at least a vendor. So maybe, you know.
Maybe you can call her out for a match.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And then one last question, Shauna. If people want to find out more about you, find out where you're going to be wrestling, you know, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Facebook, you just, you know, type in my name, Shauna Reed. Instagram is Shauna_Reed. And Twitter is Stubborn. The Twitter handle is StubbornAngel93.
Awesome, Shauna. I want to thank you so much for taking time out to speak with me. And I wish you the best as you travel across the globe. And hopefully we'll see you in the WWE soon.
Thank you.